now for the legal mumble jumbo. This podcast is based entirely on Frank's own personal opinions and is in no way, shape, or form the opinions or representation of any fire, police, EMS organizations which he is currently or previously associated or affiliated with. The views expressed in this podcast are entirely his own and do not reflect the views of any aforementioned organization. Please note, the names may have been changed to protect the innocent, the stupid, and the brain dead. Greetings and salutations, everyone. Thank you for joining my podcast for yet another edition of Frank the Lunatic Rants.
Live, from the beautifully spacious and wonderfully bodacious, Fuck If I Know studios located in wonderful downtown Hamlin, Pennsylvania, it is yet another informative, educational, argumentative, debatable, and downright boring edition of Frank the Lunatic Rants.
Hey there, hi there, ho there everyone, as always, I am your congenial host, Frank the Lunatic. Thank you for joining me yet again for another episode of me ranting, raving, pissing and moaning about topics you probably do not give a shit about whatsoever. You know what else some people just don't really give a shit about at all? This discussion that they have over daylight savings time. This has been a topic that's been floating in and out of the media and with politicians for quite some time now, especially over the last several years. But honestly, what is with this messing with our external and internal clocks? And what in God's name is wrong with our friggin' politicians? Yes, that's a rhetorical question. They are morons in the first friggin' degree. Let's just take this debate over daylight savings time, DST, that's been going on for a while. Here's a brief history for those of you who don't know about DST, like how it came about and everything. Supposedly, it's been around since the time of, Ben Franklin. But actually, it didn't get up and running for pretty much over, like, all the United States for about, I think it was like 100 years ago, roughly, is when it really became, it was tweaked and became the standard. And over the course of those decades, our politicians have tweaked it even more until we have what has been the most recent version of DST that we've been following for, I don't know, maybe the last 50, 60 years or something. Originally, it was supposed to help people be more productive. Figures our government would think of something like that, you know, when we didn't have electricity back in this freaking Stone Age. But in the last 50 years, they claimed they needed to continue it because it was supposedly saving energy. Really? What energy are we saving? I mean, the world now it runs 24/7. There's different jobs. I mean, there's stuff going on 24/7. So exactly what energy are we saving? We still drive to work. We still use fuel for heat and transportation. We're still washing and showering and using our dryers and watching television. And of course, listening to my podcast, because after all, that is the most important thing out there. So thank you, Cupcake Twins. So if we're still doing the same thing that we do when the clocks aren't changed, what energy are they claiming we are saving? Is the government honestly telling us that because we are not using our electric lights as much, supposedly, as saving enough energy to justify throwing our lives into complete chaos for a few weeks by readjusting our clocks twice a year? I mean, keep in mind, all the energy-saving light bulbs we have to use now, you know, the ones that cost more than, you know, those regular light bulbs that they're trying to ban that you probably can get for like a buck a piece. You can go to places like Dollar Tree and buy regular light bulbs for, well, now it's $1.25. Sorry, not a dollar anymore. $1.25. But are you trying to tell me the bulbs we have now that cost, you know, more than what the traditional ones were, that we're being forced to use with some of these plans that are in effect, you know, just because the government tells us electricity is so precious and we must save energy? Is that the energy we're saving by screwing around with changing our clocks? But wait, if electricity is so precious that it justifies the nonsense that Americans have to go through twice a year with this unnecessary clock readjustment, then why the heck are they pushing for electric cars? The government's been telling us that we have to switch to electric cars in order to save the planet. But we have to change our clocks to supposedly save energy. Anyhow, I mean, they keep pushing this whole electric thing. As we all know, by the year 2035, I think we're supposed to have nothing but electric. Anyhow, it's a type of fear-mongering, doom and gloom, unless we conform to what the government insists upon. I mean, does this make any sense at all? The government still insists on the policy we have of daylight savings time, on the hopes of saving a minuscule amount of energy, which I don't believe that us changing the clocks actually does, the way they still state it supposedly does. But then in the very next breath, they're insisting we all get electric cars and get rid of our gas stoves and get electric stoves. So which is it? The truth is that it's all a lie, people. Everything about it is a complete lie. Do you know that we Americans only operate about 20% of the world's total vehicles? If the government had its way and made it mandatory that we all had to drive electric vehicles, which, I mean, technically, they are making it mandatory, instead of saving the world, which is a bunch of bullshit anyway, all it would do would be to crash our country's power grid due to the enormous strain of Americans consistently recharging their cars, on top of all the electrical things that we would have going on currently and even later on in life as they start trying to eliminate things like gas stoves and gas water heaters and gas dryers, and they want everything on electric. Now, of course, common sense, which our government, as we know, doesn't have much common sense would dictate that if the government wanted to do this, they would just need to build more power plants and use natural gas, which we get from fracking, which is completely safe, and we would produce inexpensive electricity. Makes you wonder. There's a little phrase right there. Inexpensive electricity. You know, naturally, we can't have inexpensive electricity because, you know, the electric companies wouldn't be making as much money if they charged less. But picture it. If we actually did that and were able to produce just monumental amounts of electricity and the cost of electricity actually comes down, then when you think about it, we wouldn't have to change our clocks twice a year, would we? You know, I guess the government doesn't want us to have cheap and abundant electricity. Because after all, paying more for electricity is good for the economy. Anytime we Americans are actually spending more on a product or a service than we normally spent before, they say the economy is doing great. Give me a break. I can already hear the government and the environmentalists complaining about too many power plants being built. It's like an oxymoron. They want to push for electric vehicles, but they don't want traditional electric plants being built. Most state politicians don't want to build more electric plants because many in the government receive money from the environmental groups that claim more power plants add to the pollution, which is bad for our country and for the environment and for the world. But wait a minute. Aren't these the same environmentalists and politicians telling us that we all need to switch over to electric cars because they're better for the environment than gasoline vehicles? So wait a minute. Which way is it? We have to switch to electric vehicles because gas and emissions from electric vehicles and diesel vehicles is bad for the environment, but building more electric plants to keep up with the future demands of electricity is also bad for the environment. I need a Cupcake Twins. Do you have any scorecards I can use to keep score of all this? Because I'll tell you what, this is just racking my brains and I'm losing track here of which way it should be. I mean, we need these scorecards not to keep track of what's going on, but just to be able to keep a list of how many dumbass freaking politicians and, of course, dumbass people there are in this world. I'm not saying they're all Democrats, because there are probably some dumbass Republicans too, but just how many of these dumbasses we actually have. And keep in mind, these are the enlightened ones. Even if it's just in their own minds, they are the enlightened and elite. And remember, if you confuse all these individuals with facts and logic, then you're labeled a hate monger. And you wonder why the citizens of this country look at our politicians as complete and utter freaking overpaid morons. But the truly insane part is that these are the same freaking asinine politicians who are making these dumbass decisions who have 100% control over our lives. That's freaking frightening, isn't it? And here's some facts about electric cars saving our world, by the way. Again, in America, we only operate approximately 20% of the world's motorized vehicles. So even if we were actually destroying the world with our gasoline and diesel engines, which we're not, when you actually do the research, it's actually China and India that has more pollution in the environment from vehicles and manufacturing than anywhere else in the world. But that's another rant whatsoever. As I was saying, even if we were destroying the world with gasoline and diesel engines, and everyone in America switched over to 100% electric vehicles, it would do absolutely nothing to stop the so-called destruction of our planet due to combustion engines. What it will do, however, is cost us American people, yes, all of you listening to me right now, trillions and trillions of dollars to buy these flawed electric vehicles. And if you've listened and followed my podcast, I've done several other podcasts in regards to the problems and the pros and cons regarding electric vehicles and just all the incidences with them and the actual cost to keep them running. Trillions and trillions of dollars that will be dumped, of course, into the economy. So once again, President Jumpin' Joe Magoo and Vice President Chameleon Harassment and all the Democrats can say, look at this. The economy is doing great. People are spending more. Now, if you live in an area with a colder climate, by the way, and I'm sure some of you have seen some of the items in the media regarding this, you live in a colder climate, your battery's longevity with an electric vehicle would diminish faster on a full charge. So if it's not on a full charge, naturally, you can't go as far. But if you put it up to a full charge and it is freezing cold outside, you get to go less miles than you were before. Now, maybe in the cities or the suburbs, electric cars might, and I'm just stressing might, be more practical. But here in rural America, where on average, people put 20 to 30,000 plus miles a year on their vehicle because of the distance we have to travel to get to the cities for work. Not so much. And with the current increase in the cost of electricity, because there isn't regulations really anymore in electricity. The Democrats took care of that by getting rid of some of these things with price capping. Got rid of it. So with the current increases we're going through with electricity constantly, it's only to get more and more expensive to charge your expensive electric toy that you drive your ass around in. If you have an electric vehicle, you have to replace the batteries every several years, every couple years. There's actually no complete data. You know, it's funny that there's no actual data regarding the reliability and at what interval do you need to change the batteries. In a regular vehicle, you get an owner's manual and there's intervals for everything out there. How often you're supposed to change your oil, rotate your tires, you know, do things with the transmission fluid, the power steering and the brakes and everything. When it comes to electric cars, however, as us Italians would say, you have un gats, nothing. No reliable, proven, statistically proven, truthful information regarding how long these batteries last and at what interval do you have to start looking into investing in a new battery so that you don't wind up driving and all of a sudden your battery just goes kaputs on you. So if you have an electric vehicle that you have to replace your battery every so many years, which we don't know how long that would be, but these batteries can be anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 for the battery, plus the labor to put the battery in, to install the battery, when most of these dealerships are charging you, which is another rant right there. These places that charge you, you know, $120, $150 an hour for labor, but they are not paying the employee that much. Here's something, again, another rant. Here's something that a lot of you don't know out there. These guys that work and women that work in the automotive industry, you know, doing auto repairs, whether you're working for the dealerships, whether you're working for Jack Williams, whether you're working for Pep Boys, whether you're working for whatever, okay, you're not making $150 an hour. And you have to supply your own tools when you're a mechanic. That is all their own personal tools. But you're being charged a fortune per hour for the labor. Anyhow, I'm jumping off track here. So, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 for the batteries, and never mind the slave labor used to mine the lithium for the batteries. Do the research in regards to what it takes to actually create and manufacture these lithium ion batteries, and then research where in the world these mines are, and do further research, and you basically find out that it's the form of slave labor. You know, you can get stranded without a charge or not have the ability to get in your car and go in case of an emergency because you don't have a full charge. And as you've seen on some videos regarding Teslas in the wintertime and ice storms, the ones that have the recessed electric handles, you can't get into your car anyway because the system water gets in there. Wonderful design to floors. It's a design, idiotic design, actually, call it that. You can't even get into your car because the doors won't even unlock. You can't, the handles won't pop out for you to open the door. So, as you know, as I've said before, I think I might have had a rant on this too, when there's issues, when there happens to be disaster, you know, Godzilla is coming and you need to get away, okay? You're not going to be able to because your electric car isn't charged enough. And remember, the estimated distance in miles the electric car manufacturers say you can travel is under perfect conditions. That is in a perfect environment done in a laboratory condition where the vehicle they're testing is being tested under very controlled temperature and simulated environmental conditions like humidity and wind and things like that. And these vehicles, these things they're testing, back in the day, gas engines would go through dyno testing, they would call it. And everything is just simulated. And that's how it is with these electric cars. It's simulated. I mean, there's so many variables involved to calculate the distance you can go, the weight, how much stuff you have in the vehicle, the weather conditions, how your tires are, things like that, the road itself all comes into play. So as I said, you can get stranded because you ran out of a charge right away or you didn't have time to fully charge your vehicle. And remember, as I said, the estimated distance is on for perfect conditions. Do you really think you're going to get that mileage going up and down the hills in rural America? Then add in having your family in the car, more weight, and you're going on vacation. So you have luggage in that. That's even more weight on the car. Now, I have to say, the cars that combine gas and electric hybrids make a heck of a lot more sense. Why are we not investing more in hybrid vehicles? Why does President Magoo insist that we have to have battery-powered electric vehicles? And I think I said that wrong. I don't feel like the Cupcake Twins backing it up. I might have probably said that whole statement wrong. Hybrid vehicles. These cars that are designed for gas and electric, the electric only kicks on generally when it speeds under 40 miles an hour. They make more sense. They should be pushing and doing improvements and integration with that technology so that they can run longer. And take a Toyota Prius. It recharges itself. How come Tesla? How come Elon Musk, supposed to be intelligent, supposedly intelligent, can come up with the concept of a Tesla, which, excuse me, I can't stand and I hate the cars anyway. But he can't think of a way of making his vehicles regenerate. And I don't mean this whole regenerative thing with energy coming from the braking system. That's diddly squat. That's like throwing pennies, a couple of pennies to pay off a tax bill. It doesn't do shit. I'm talking about like a Prius, something that's actually recharging the batteries while you drive. Why can't electric cars have something like that? That would basically save your ass and make sure you're not going to be stuck on the side of the road. Oh, wait, you know why? Because if everything was hybrid, you would not be using more electricity because you wouldn't be charging your car. And then people wouldn't be spending more for electric, and the electric companies, the manufacturing companies, wouldn't be making as much more profit that they predict they're going to be making once there's electric cars. And then the Democrats can't say, the economy is getting better. The plan is working. Anyhow, hybrids. But right now, electric cars, it's not a practical alternative to the gas engine, nor will it save the world. Now, hybrids, a little more so. Now, if you are one of those people that are actually worried about saving the world, you should be much more concerned with who we are electing to public office, because the gas and fumes that these morons expel every time they open their goddamn mouths is a heck of a lot more of a danger and more dangerous to you and your family than gas engines and diesel engines. If the government gets its way and forces us to go electric, even though that would be throwing our freedom of choice right out the goddamn window, and the freedom to live, you know, a way that is comfortable for you, that you feel your family should be living, all that right out the window. So if the government gets its way and forces us to go electric, what it will do is cost us, the taxpayer, yes, those of us who actually came from families that came into this country legally and aren't getting those handouts right now, it will cost us, the taxpayer, more money, crash the power grid, and put hundreds thousands of people out of work, because that is another thing that you don't really see articles about and actual projections of how many people will lose their jobs, how many companies, manufacturing companies, will actually close up because of them eliminating gas and diesel vehicles in the future. After all, you have companies that right now that make things that you would not need for electric cars. For example, heater cores. Don't have them in an electric car. It's a totally different type of system for heating. all the companies and manufacturers that make containers of motor oil. Right out the window. Right out the window. Those companies, the gas and the oil companies, that'll go downhill as well. Things like power steering. The companies that make these, hydraulic power steering systems. Shut the plants down because everything on an electric car is all electric and electric assist. You don't have power steering fluid at all. Even the air conditioning systems, I heard, are actually a little bit different. The companies that make oxygen sensors, close those plants down too, because after all, you don't need oxygen sensors on an electric vehicle. Walker Exhaust, might as well shut their doors down and lay off all their people as well, because after all, you won't need a company making exhaust pipes anymore. Just maybe a little bit on the side for like the cranes and, backhoes and that like need a exhaust pipe. But for the most part, you wouldn't have the demand that you have now. So actually, this whole electric thing is going to cause more people to go out of work. And meanwhile, President Magoo is there saying how, tons of green jobs and opportunity for all the young people and that. Always about the young people. What about the older people? How about people like me? The older people that will wind up losing jobs because everything went electric. Hundreds of thousands of people out of work. Oh, and keep in mind, if you're one of the well-offs who can actually afford the payments, can't say afford to buy. Nobody buys them outright. Nobody can afford that. One of those individuals who are fortunate enough to be able to actually afford the payments for an electric car, the so-called poor and impoverished of our country won't be able to bear the expense of buying one, let alone be able to afford the increased expense in electricity to actually recharge one. Which would mean, I guess, our government has to step in to make things fairer, I guess. Which means, not only will they make you pay for your electric car, but then the government will find a way to tax us so that the poor and the impoverished, and yes, even the illegals, can get their electric cars for free. That won't happen. It's just a pipe dream. But that's the only thing I can think of. If you want everyone to have electric vehicles, and us lower working class people can't afford the payments on electric vehicles, well, then we can't get to work. And all of us who are the grunt workers of the United States of America, who keep everything going for the upper and middle class people, the people that work in the restaurants, people work in the fast food, in the supermarkets, and stuff like that, we couldn't get to work. They wouldn't be able to spend their money at a store then, because nobody would be there in the store to help them, because they didn't get into work, because they couldn't afford payments on an electric car, so they can't get their asses around anymore. So don't tell me this isn't going to happen, that the government isn't going to turn around. The way you see them giving things to illegals as it is, it wouldn't surprise me if they actually go and come out with a program to give them cars, give them electric cars. All of this at the same time our government is looking into the possibility of making us get rid of our gas stoves, again to save the world. Then we all have to get electric stoves. And the same policy will be applied for the poor as well. So tell me, does jumping our clocks back and forth under the pretense of saving electricity make any sense to anyone anymore? The truth of the matter is that setting the clocks back and forth is completely idiotic and no longer necessary. In a way, I could care less. It doesn't bother me if it's 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning. But the whole concept just doesn't make sense anymore. An overwhelming majority of people in our country know this as well as many in our government. But due to the complete collapse of common sense and the inability of our politicians to get anything done while becoming multimillionaires off of our hard-earned tax dollar, and with the benefits and retirement packages and everything else that are honestly sinful, our government can't muster up enough courage and determination to make this right, to right all of this. An overwhelming majority of Americans actually want this clock nonsense to end. Because it just, not that even that doesn't make any sense. We don't even realize it, to be honest, anymore. Does anyone really wonder why there's a complete breakdown in trust for our government or lack of hope for our country anymore? How many of you out there listening to the podcast right now, if possible, would take a magic wand and just get rid of all of the existing politicians? Let's see a show of hands. Oh, see, that many of you out there. No, seriously, please tell me how the same damn politicians keep getting reelected to the same or different offices in government. Even when it comes to state, even here in Pennsylvania, when it comes to local, you have the same people getting in over and over again. A lot of it on just name acknowledgement, name recognition, because their family name has been in that type of position of local and county and city government that for so long. People just start voting for names that they're familiar with. And meanwhile, they don't do much of anything. Nothing ever improves, especially in rural parts of this country. Seriously, we're literally shooting ourselves in the foot and wondering why we're walking with a limp. Nothing. Say it again. Nothing. Our government does makes any sense to any responsible, reasonable, living, breathing person. It can't. The government is the prime example of why family members shouldn't get married to each other. Unless, of course, you're from Knox in Pennsylvania. There you go. They're going to be coming up here and knocking on my door because I mentioned Knox in Pennsylvania, where nothing spells loving like marrying your cousin. So many of our state and federal elected officials are nothing more than a group of inbred, mentally challenged, lying, thieving, conniving, backstabbing, whoremongering individuals who have no concern for the legitimate legal citizens of this country and what their dumbass laws, regulations, and taxes put us and our families through on a daily basis. Remember, election season is here. It's coming up. Stop. Please, for the love of God and for the love of the country, stop re-electing these morons. I don't even want to call them people. They're hairless orangutans. That's a better description of what they are. And for God's sake, get rid of this mandatory daylight savings bullshit. Now, I'm sure a lot of you out there have heard the phrase, it's not my circus, they're not my monkeys. So you tell me how many of you feel exasperated and completely worn out knowing that, unfortunately, it's our circus government. And those are our political monkeys running out of control. And keep in mind, we're the assholes, well, some of us, are the assholes who vote them into office. Now, personally, I've thought about it and talked it over with other people. And the only way to see a glimpse and the possibility for a light at the end of the tunnel has to do with groups and organizations, such as the election integrity groups, the Gun Owners of America, the Tea Party, the Patriot groups, other conservative groups, reform and tax groups, the libertarians, constitutional organizations, just to name a few. These groups and organizations by themselves are trying to change the direction America is declining into, but they're getting nowhere. But what if a national call to arms went out to all these groups and organizations and we held a conference just like we did in the Revolution in around 1775? All these groups and organizations that represent millions and millions of Americans would send two or three delegates to this conference to represent their group, club, organization. We would set our differences aside and begin to work to have one voice where we can pick one topic at a time and start combating the government and this whole socialist agenda by trying to make reforms. Because honestly, people, we are running out of time. Can you imagine uniting all these groups and organizations into having one voice on any one particular topic? We would bi-step the media, the Hollywood left, and maybe, just maybe, we can actually start to make real change and get our country back on the right course. And yes, this is a monumental task. But I believe we the people are up to it. Yes, it's a dream, but can you imagine? Can you imagine it coming true? And honestly, this is where the government fears we the people. When we reach across the aisle, shake one another's hands, stand up in unison, start to take our country back and bring back the American dream. Yes, I'm just throwing it out there, but imagine the possibilities. Maybe then we can get the friggin' government to quit screwing with our clocks. Always keep this in mind for those of you who did pay attention in history class. The lines in there that say, a government of the people, for the people. And the lines that also say that legally, when the people of the United States of America feel that the government is no longer working or keeps in mind the will of the people, those people have the right to dissolve the current form of government and actually reinstitute a newer, more productive, more realistic and modern form of government that would actually represent we the people. It's in there. Go check it out sometime. It is all legal. So imagine the possibilities out there. I, my friends, as always, I'm Frank the Lunatic, my friends, and I have approved this message. You want to leave me a message? Give me a call back on our listener feedback line at area code 570-503-6585 or send me an email to frankthelunatic@gmail.com. If you listen to me through the anchor.fm online, I don't know if the Spotify, being that Spotify owns us now, actually has it on there, but there used to be an icon on there that you can click and you can leave me a voice message right through the page for my podcast. Reach out to me sometime. I want to know your opinion out there. Anyhow, as I was saying, I, my friends, am Frank the Lunatic. And of course, as always, I have approved this message. And for now, my friends, that is all I have to say about that.
Birthday card! Birthday card! Birthday card! Birthday card! Birthday card! I get birthday card! Birthday card! I get birthday card! Do you like birthdays? I like birthday cakes. Do you? The end.
Birthday.
<Monday. laughs>